Hi everybody, welcome to this episode of Enlightenment Today. I'm Jason. In this episode, I want to speak about the Eastern resistance to debating, especially in countries such as Japan. Avoiding debate is another hallmark of Eastern thought that a lot of Westerners find it hard to comprehend. In the West, we are almost encouraged to debate so we can come to a conclusion on a matter. This way of thinking is incorrectly believed to be universal. Westerners often think that the way they think is the same for everyone else. This is a clumsy way of viewing the world. Both East and West cognitively evolved differently, which influenced their social structures, philosophies, religions, language, and basic worldview. In the West, debate was a natural byproduct of analytical thinking and individualism, while in the East, avoiding debate was a natural byproduct of holistic thinking and collectivism. In Far Eastern Asia, this could in part be attributed to Confucianism and Taoism because people have a respect for their elders, even when the older person might be obviously wrong or their statements unfounded. For example, we see this attitude in the scientific field where all the support is often funneled to the mediocre older scientists instead of the more talented younger ones. But this resistance to debate is not just an ideological or social one. This resistance stretches to the very nature of communication and rhetoric. We know rhetoric in the West provides an underlying structure for everything from solving problems, exploring evidence, and other arguments and refutations, so we can come to a conclusion or recommendation. But this linear rhetoric model is not common in the East. For example, it's usually the last thing an Easterner learns on the road to becoming a scientist. This does seem strange to Western academia, but this is the way most Easterners have cognitively evolved, even though there is a growing trend in the East to become expert debaters. But is it right for Easterners to fall in line with Western thinking? Or is there something in the art of no debate that the West could learn? And as you all surely know me, there is a lot the West can learn from the East about many things, including their resistance to debate. First of all, why would an Easterner avoid debate? Japan is usually the best example, as they seem to have stuck more to this cognitive trait than other Eastern nations. When we look at decision-making processes in Japanese boardrooms and executive councils, they are designed to avoid conflict and dissonance at all costs. These sorts of meetings are often a ratification of consensus achieved by the leader of the meeting beforehand. If someone has a conflict or disagree with the decision being made, they will usually avoid the situation to keep harmony and good relationships with their co-workers. And from a Western perspective, you may say this is stupid, but it is in this attitude that the kernel of truth resides, which we can learn from. The holistic view of the East is built on relationships, and so this means, first and foremost, friendships are number one, no matter what your individual opinion is. Keeping good relationships and friendships is always considered before someone goes off about their own personal view on the matter. Even when two people disagree, they will come halfway for the friendship, even if they still disagree, because again, friendship first. This is why before engaging in business with the Chinese business person, you better get your liver ready, because they first want you to drink with them to see if you can be trusted and also if they can develop a friendship. And when I say drink, I mean legless drunk. It's kind of their way of disarming your ego to see who is really behind the mask. This approach is more about friendship rather than if the business deal is good or not. Don't get me wrong, the deal matters, but friendship is more important moving forward. This sort of attitude actually caused problems when Easterners and Westerners started doing more business together. And this comes down to the way both view contracts. For a Westerner, once a deal is done, it shouldn't be modified. A deal is a deal. But on the other hand, to an Easterner, a deal is a tentatively agreed upon guide for the future. Both of these opposing views most notably caused conflict in the past between Japanese and Australian business people over a contract for sugar. Australia refused to renegotiate the contract when the price of sugar dropped radically on the world market. The Australian view was that the Japanese were being purely self-serving and self-interested. But this was not the case. Actually, Japanese suppliers take these sort of matters into consideration with their own customers. One example of this is the film industry in Tokyo. When it snows in Tokyo, film distributors are more likely to compensate theatre owners for their drop in audience attendance. So the misunderstanding between Australia and Japan was due to a lack of understanding of both cognitive styles and cultural perspectives. Actually, if we look at the situation through a Western lens, it is not cost effective to have such an attitude. But when viewed through an Eastern lens, their attitude strengthens the relationship between customer and supplier, which makes sense in many ways. Though the Eastern view of not debating may seem radical, it is the best for keeping friendships and also for allowing relationships to grow rich. This view highlights the fact that individual opinion is not the be-all and end-all. What is more important is collective harmony minus a self-interested ego. This is a common trait among many Eastern philosophies, but this is a blind spot in the West. Actually, as we know, individual opinion is encouraged in the West. So there is no surprise that a lot of unnecessary conflict exists in the West. Western intellectuals build their whole repertoire on debate and wielding their individual opinion upon everyone. You'll find a multitude of news networks, current affair programs, and podcasts all engaging in debate as each individual tried to showcase their intellectual power. This is nothing more than peacock consciousness. It's all about who stands out the most, or in other words, who has the loudest bark. It's just plain immature if we view it from an Eastern perspective. This sort of behavior is rife on social media, where people get into heated debates in the comments sections with people they've never met. Trolling a comment section is just plain childish, and in a lot of cases, a troll is hiding behind their computer, venting all their deep-seated anger on people they've never met. If you are one of these keyboard assassins, then you need to rethink your behavior and grow up. The Eastern view is a grown-up view. It's about putting the harmony of humanity first rather than personal opinion. And even those who support debate often can't detach from a debate. For example, I've been with people who get in a debate with someone else, and then after it, they will say, "I hate that guy," even though they pretended they were cool with the person when the debate had concluded. So a subtle resentment dwells in some people after debate, and this is the point made by the East. If we can't engage in a friendly give and take conversation, then it's better not to engage at all. Besides, when we dive deeper into the fabric of individual opinion, we discover that opinions are driven by individual conditioning and personal agenda. So how can an individual opinion be best for the collective if it is self-interested? It can't. It can never be. And anyone's personal agenda and conditioning is built on a host of factors that are often not considered when decisions are being made. The art of no debate, on the other hand, forces us to see matters from a more holistic perspective. Instead of wielding our own opinion, we can listen to the consensus and feel out what is good for social harmony rather than individual self-interest. By keeping our mind clear and our mouth shut, we can listen to what the world needs, because we've become a selfless friend to the entire world.